And I'd written another sermon on the old paths, but you know what? You understand that and everything like that. But I wanted to preach a message to you right here from Luke 14 that God had gave me half of it the other day. And I said, you know what? I'm going to look at that text again for my devotions. I'm going to maybe I'll teach on that on a broadcast or something. Then I thought about it more and I thought, you know what? No, it really fits what we're doing here today. And I called it the high cost of discipleship. And I want you to think about the high cost, because this ministry really does show the high cost of discipleship, that there is a cost to discipleship. There is a cost that ought to be measured out, that you ought to pay attention to. You ought to count the cost of following Christ. You ought to count that there is a cost. And I want you young people to understand that there is a cost to following Christ. And that you never forget that your brothers and sisters in Christ, your mothers and your fathers and your pastor and others that have served the Lord, there's a high cost to that discipleship. It's not free. It wasn't free. Salvation is free, yes. Jesus paid it all. We're not talking about the atonement here. We're talking about your walk with God and living for God every day and the high cost of what God expects from His people, what God expects from you, and what it will cost you. And some of you need to pay attention very closely to this and not miss this. You younger believers in Christ, you new believers in Christ, you ought to pay attention to this very closely. And you young people, pay attention. And it's a good reminder for us. Luke chapter 14. Everything working all right, Andrew? You ready for me to go? Turning me down just a little bit. The neighbors can hear me? All right, good. They need to hear it, don't they? Luke chapter 14, verse number 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Boy, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? I'm going to tell you what. If some of you love your friends more than Jesus, you can't be his disciple. Amen. Isn't that it, brother? That's it right there, is it? You can't be his disciple. You love your mother and father more than him, you're not worthy of him. That's what Jesus said. You're not worthy of me. Whew. What if you're thinking about that? Haha, but there's more. Wait, there's more. He didn't end it there, did he? If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. Well, how about that? His own life also. I got to take this jacket off, brother. This is not going to work for me. It's going to get a little hot here. Amen. And I intended it to be hot. Although I believe God did, because when God gives a message, when God gives it, it's directed right for you. Everybody here, all of us, amen. He says that whosoever doth not bear his cross, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. Again, there it is. He says, cannot be. This sounds like the narrow way, doesn't it? For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. By the way, that's what happens to people that go a little way in the faith. They're not really born again by the Spirit of God. They go a little way and they turn back. Remember Pilgrim's Progress? What happened when Pliable came with him, right? A little way. Slew of the Spawn comes. Got a little too heated for him. Life got a little too much for him. What'd he do? Turn back. What'd they do? They mocked him. They mocked him, didn't they? And behold, they began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh, look at that, there it is again. There's another word there. He says, cannot be my disciple. He says, he that hateth not father and mother, or he that loveth father and mother more than me, he says in another text, is not worthy of me. He's explaining to you what that means by hate right there, doesn't he? That's, if you put all the texts together, you understand exactly what he means by that. He explains it very plainly. Jesus says it very plainly. Says it in Matthew, Mark, in the Gospels. He lays it out. The Apostle Paul does too later, though. We'll get to that, right? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Maybe you want to hold on to things. Maybe there's things you want to hold on to. Let me ask you a question. You hold on to things from the old life? You trying to hold on to things and grip things from the old life? Some of you ain't holding on to nothing from the old life. You still are the old life. You ain't been born again by the Spirit of God, never been saved by the grace of Almighty God and had your sins forgiven you. That's why you live the old life, because you can't live the new one. You're not born again. You got to be born again by the Spirit of God and have your sins forgiven. I don't care if you're 5 or 25 or 55 or 75 or 105. It don't matter. Amen. Even if as a child, if you're a young child and you're holding on to things of this world like that, right? You need to be born again too if you're not saved. You may not have done all the things that we've done in our life, but you're still a wicked little sinner on your way to hell. Amen. Father, please help us now. Guide us. Help us understand this great cost of discipleship and to count the cost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Jesus warns us about relationships in this life keeping us from Christ. There are some people that can't grow because they can't let go of relationships. They're so worried about what their mom and dad think about their Christianity. They're so worried about what grandma thinks about their Christianity. How come your Christianity don't shape what grandma thinks? How about that, huh? How about your Christianity shapes what grandma thinks instead of grandma telling you how you're supposed to think? Boy, that's something, ain't it? How about that? Some of those relationships will keep us from growing in grace and learning of Christ. He warns us here that if our affections are not right, then we'll put family before Christ. He lists father and mother first, because father and mother are the normal relationships that take precedent in the earth over all other relationships. I mean, think about that. He says it's the first commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. That's the first commandment with promise. So we understand. So Jesus is saying there's the importance of that relationship, honor thy father and thy mother. But he warns us, he that loveth father and mother more than me are not worthy of me. Think about that. You know, the father and mother, this is such a stark statement that is made by Christ here. Because look, listen, our relationship with our father and mother, it's our first one that we ever have. When you come out of the womb, that's the first one, you have your father and your mother are right there, and mostly your mother is right there. And we learn of our father and our mother first. We learn everything we know from our parents. They're the first to love us, supposed to. They're the first to care for us. They're the first eyes that lock with ours when we come into this world. Would be our mothers and our fathers. We are in our mother's womb for 9 months and literally survive by our mother's body. Then we come out and we sit at our mother's breast for the first years of our life and get our life-saving, sustaining nourishment from our mothers. There's no relationship on earth that should have more impact on us than our own father and mother in that sense of the familial sense in our family. And from a natural standpoint, not spiritual, of course. From our mothers and our fathers, we learn to walk and talk and eat and function. We are trained to go to the bathroom by them. We're trained how to dress ourselves, how to care for ourselves, how to function in day-to-day living from our mothers. So then this bond is very close and strong. And we grow up to learn to take their advice for nearly everything that we do. The most important relationship we have needs to be with Christ, though. Christ warns us. He that cometh to me and hate not father and mother and wife and such cannot be my disciple. That's strong language, isn't it? Well, it is strong language. And it means something. Christ warns us that he that cometh to me, the most important relationship we have need to be with is Christ and him crucified. We must put him above all others. We must not believe that we can put others before him. We must count the cost that father, mother, wife, husband, children may desert us. We may be left without them. Christ showed us this example when his mother and his siblings came to him and he said, "Who is my mother, my brother? But he that doeth the will of God, the will of my Father in heaven, this is my mother and my brother." Amen. You must count the cost to be his disciple. You must realize that you'll be facing much opposition in the way. This church for 17 years has faced much opposition in the way. This pastor preaching to you has faced much opposition in the way. You have faced much opposition in the way to serve the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something, and I mean it very plainly. I'm in a war, and so are you. I don't look at this life as anything else. I'm not playing pixie sticks. I'm not playing patty cake. This is a war for men's souls. Do you understand that? It's a war for families. It's a war for children's souls. And the souls of them that will come after them. Some of you need eternity stamped on your eyeballs. Amen. You must realize that your family cannot be put above Christ, but that you must follow the Lord even above your closest family relationships. People ask me that question all the time. Well, what if your son decided to do this, or what if your daughter decided to do this? Well, if they decide to do that, by God's grace, I'm going to follow the Lord. That's what's going to happen. Right? But it's your son. I know, but it's my Jesus and it's my God, my Lord and my Savior, the one that I'll stand before one day. But what if your mom gets mad? Oh, well. What if your dad gets mad? What if your son rejects everything that you do? Well, then I'll keep doing everything I've always done. I'll keep going out every time. I'll stand up. I'll fight the good fight of faith by God's grace, and I'll lay hold on eternal life. That's exactly what I'll do. And I'll believe God. That's what I'll do. What if they hate you for it? What if they do? Didn't Jesus say they would? Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Right? Christ said, "I came not to bring peace, but a sword." Amen. And by the way, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you, all you young men something, and young women something. You're to learn from your elders. That's what you're supposed to do. You're not going to change what we believe.
You're not going to come in here and give us some nuanced thing that you're going to change the way we believe, and all of a sudden we're going to start living like the world and doing things like you want to do them because the world's got your little number and wave some little crystal wand in front of your face, and you think we're going to change? We're some effeminate men that are going to step back from what we do for God? What, are you kidding me? You've been paying attention? You've been paying attention? I don't think you have been. I think you better pay attention, son. That's what I think you better do. You got the wrong guy. You got the wrong group of men. We don't roll the way of the world because they like it. We go against it. God sent us to go against it. I'm going to lose my voice today. Good. Happy are ye. Man, I can't wait to get back out there in October. I can't wait. But I'll do it in here for now. You know something? By God, I ain't slowed down one bit. By God's grace, man, we are just as fired up as we were, more so than when we started 17 years ago. I'm praying God gives me 34 more years to pastor. I'd like to pastor this church for 50 years. That'd be something. That'd be 51 years, I know, but close enough, right? Amen. Christ shows us, and we're going to go over a few things back and forth a little bit, but that's fine. That's okay. Repetition is good. Christ shows us that we must put God above all others. We must never live for self in this world. We are to die to self and take up our cross and follow Him. That's the crucified life. It's the life of sacrifice. It's the life of Christ. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "For I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." My mom, my dad, my sons, my daughters, my wife didn't die on the cross for my sins. Jesus did. He is Lord. And by the way, I don't believe in such a thing as a saved person not being a disciple of Christ and following Him. We've seen that mess before, haven't we? We don't believe in that. We know that God, when He saves a man, He calls that man follows Him. Right? I'm not saying they don't stumble along the way. They don't have problems along the way. We all have. But I'll tell you what, the general direction of their life changes. Changes. There are men that try to follow Christ lost, and they're miserable. You can't be a chameleon, Christian. It doesn't work. You can't try to make yourself like other people. You know, make yourself like saved people. I had guys try to do that. They come along and said, "Man, I'm just like you. I don't disagree with you in anything." Boy, three years later, they stuck me so hard with a knife in the fifth rib. Now they disagree with everything. Amen. That's the way it goes, right? Every man or woman that is born again is a follower of Christ, and God expects them to follow Him. Here Christ speaks of the high cost of discipleship. You know, He would later tell Peter that, you know, this life is going to cost you everything to follow Me. You're going to lose everything, Peter. When you're old, somebody's going to carry you whither you wouldn't go. They're going to put their hands on you. They're going to carry you. And Peter was talking about everything he was going to do, you know, how he was going to live and how everything was going to happen. And God said, "No, you're not." Right? Peter's like, "Lord, I'll never deny you. These losers, they will. All these losers here, they're going to deny you. But me, God, I'm not. I ain't like those losers." Man, the first thing Peter did, 3 times, denied the Lord. That's why we never make those comments. We say, "Lord, please help us not to be that way." That's why we always do that. We preface that, don't we? You know, Jesus said about your family something very clear that you better remember. He said, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Wouldn't that be something? It could be that the son or daughter that you raise could be a foe in your own household. Well, it says it, doesn't it? It's very possible, isn't it? We always think about that in the context of, you know, other family. You know, you get saved later in life and that happens. Well, maybe no. Maybe it's your own children that decide that they're not going to follow God and they expect you to follow them. And I always point out that, well, look, we're doing the same thing we've always done. We're not the ones that have changed. You have. Amen. Come on. That's just it. Why do we go on such like the defensive and be like, and try to apologize for our stands for God? I ain't apologizing for squat to you. I'm going to stand for God by His grace, and if you don't like it, good. Maybe you'll get your heart right with God and you'll start liking it. Your liker's broke. That's what. You got a problem. Our liker's not broke. It's set on Christ. We're going to follow Him by God's grace until we're dead. So you bury these old men and you stick them in a box somewhere and our stinking corpse reminds you that we followed God till the end. Amen. You won't have any excuse from us. Jesus said a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Think about that for a second. So one of yours rises up and doesn't want to live for God. What do? You live for God. What should I do? I should live for God. That's what I, the same thing I always do. Why? It ain't broke. Ain't nothing wrong with it. It's biblical. It's God's way. Amen. We ain't changing. If we are, it's to be more like Christ and less like ourselves. But we ain't changing any other way. Not for the world. Not to make the world accept our Christianity or soften it down a little bit to have a bigger crowd. I'm not having a rock concert. This is church. I ain't selling tickets. It's free. Amen. It ain't a popularity contest. I lost that a long time ago. Jesus lost it too. They crucified Him. That one minute they cried, Hosanna in the highest. The next minute the same people cried, crucify Him, crucify Him, right? Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So you got to come to that conclusion. You got to come to that place. Am I going to follow my mother and father, my sons and my daughters over the Lord, or am I going to follow the Lord? That's the decision that we have to make. Every man has to make that decision. Every woman has to make that decision. Amen. That's very real to your Christian life. Why? I don't know. For some reason, we have this in our mind that the world's going to like our stand. And that Christians that don't want to live for God, that want to take a soft stand and get along with the world, are going to like us. No, they're not. They're going to hate us. Might as well give them something to hate then. Right? Right, Brother Garrick? Might as well give them something to hate then. Let it be for the truth, right? He says here, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. If you don't want to follow Christ, you're not worthy. If you don't take up your cross, you're not worthy of Him. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Thank the Lord. 2 years ago, I lost my life for His sake. And He saved my soul and changed my life and made me a new creature. He said, yeah, that guy, he's dead. Amen? He's dead. But I'm going to give you a new life. And I can tell you, it has been wonderful. I've been through a lot of struggles along the way. I've been through a lot of things as you have along your pilgrimage. But you know what? God has been good to me. Amen. God has been so good to me. I don't care what has happened my way. I haven't been good all the time, that's for sure, but God sure has been good to me all the time. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Have you counted the cost to be his disciple? Some haven't. I think maybe some have, and they've deemed it not worth it. Some have counted the cost. They literally sat down and counted it and said, it's not worth it for me to live the same faith as my forefathers, the faith once delivered unto the saints. It's not worth it to me to live for Christ. Why? Well, because you want the world. That's why. You want the world. You want to follow the world and what it has. It's dangled. You're like the stupid fish that bites on the lure, that takes the lure and gets it caught, and you're snagged now like the dumb fish, right? That's been lured. You're lured by the world, and you're lured by the lights of the city, the reflectors of hell. Man, I like how that blasts across there. I had like a Schubel Stearns, George Whitfield moment there, brother. I heard it, Paul, across the... it echoed across there, man. That was pretty cool right there. Amen. I like that, man. That's pretty fun. Amen. Maybe you've counted it. I think some of you may have looked at your parents and seen the struggles of the Christian life and thought the cost may be too high for you to follow. I have a question for you. Does hell and damnation look more appealing to you? Does the world and the lights of the city and the love of your own intellect look so much more appealing than the meek and lowly one, Jesus Christ, the one in which you will find rest for your souls? Are the lights of the city the reflectors for hell and damnation more appealing to you? Christ says, if any man will come after me, if he will, this is what he is to expect. You be hated of all men for my name's sake. Here's another one. Doesn't sound like your best life now, does it? Here's another one. Yeah, the first one, you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. How about this? You should be the offscouring of all things. You'll be put out. You'll be the reproach to all men. Your family members will not understand you. Your friends will reject you. All your earthly relationships may be turned upside down. How's that look? Well, husbands have been left by their wives. Wives have been left by their husbands. Parents have been forsaken by their children. Children have been forsaken by their parents. People have been fired. People have lost money, lost jobs, lost houses, lost lands, lost opportunity, had to take different employment to be in church, right? Your buddies are making $180,000 a year, travel around all the time, staying away from church and staying away from home. But what do? You stay home. Did you lose anything? Not really. You gained a whole lot more, brother. You have to forsake opportunities. You see people, oh, they have their lands. They have their money. They have all these things. They don't have Jesus. They're going to die and go to hell because they've been dangled this carrot in front of them and they fell for it. They're like the dumb ox led to the slaughter in that sense. They're like the man that was taken by the adulterous woman. All she had to do was show him a little bit of leg and he ran right for her. Like a big stupid fool running after a whore. Amen. Amen. Don't you think I'm ever going to soften my speech? I know what a nasty, filthy slut will do to a man's life and destroy him. Seen it many times. And I know what a nasty, filthy, adulterous, fornicating, bum man will do too, that'll come in, try to be slick, and try to take a woman and steal her purity from her and ruin and destroy her life. Amen! Watched it. Seen it happen. Amen. lost opportunities. People had to take different employment to be in church. By the way, let me ask you a question. Which is more important? That I follow the Lord, that I'm faithful to the Lord's house, or that I make extra money or I make more money? Well, that depends. How do you want your family raised? What do you want to show your children? What's more important to them? What do you want to teach them is more important? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you? Or do you want to seek the money first? I bet you some of you young people might be thinking in your mind, and I'm talking to you young men right now, because I know about ambition. I know about wanting to get ahead. I understand all that. So I'm going to speak to you for a minute. In your mind right now, what you might be saying in your mind right now is, I just can't imagine walking away from money like this for the Lord. I know. That's the problem. You need to beg God to show it to you. You need to beg God to show it to you. Amen. You cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. For the love of money is the root of all evil. How many ministries, how many men, how many things have been taken down by money? By the love of money. By the way, how many of you young men love money? Here's a sure test. What do you do with it? That's a sure test of whether you love money or not. What do you do with it? Does it go to, you know, take care of your family? Does it go to take care of needs? Does it go, do you give it to the Lord? Do you give it to the work of the Lord? Do you give it towards the ministry of the Lord? Do you do that? Do you take care of your family with it, or do you just take care of yourself with it? Is it all about you? Well, if it's all about you and you spend it on you, you just love money. It's covetousness. If you start your life out with covetousness now, you'll keep it for a long time until God breaks it in you. And when he breaks it, if you're a Christian, he'll break it hard. If you're not, you'll be given over to money and you'll be taken by it, and it'll ruin you. It'll destroy you. It'll take you because you love it. What's that? That's right. The eye of a needle, that's right. Difficult, right? Some men love that money so much, it matters to them. Not even for their own needs or for the needs of their family or for the church or whatever, but it's themselves. They'll go out of the way for self. By the way, you single people aren't exempted from that. You single people, you think, you know what? You got to be careful. You can turn into love and money. You don't have a family to take care of. And when you start raising a family, you don't get to love much of money because it's gone too quick for you to care about it. there it goes. It's gone, right? Because you're spending it the way God intended it to be, to take care of your family, right? He intended you to care for your family, to provide for them. But when you're single, sometimes you just hoard it. You can just hoard it up. Keep it for yourself. Not be generous towards God, towards his ministry. Why? Because you love it. You love it. It's in you. You love it. It's going to take you someday. It's going to destroy you. Do anything for it, just to have it. See, there's a high cost to discipleship. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that you can run contrary to the world and the Antichrist spirit that rules this world and it not have an effect on you? The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's a spirit of Antichrist out there, and it hates God. The Bible says the god of this world hath blinded their minds, right? Satan is the god of this world. And if you stand for Jesus Christ and this King James Bible right here, you are running in opposition to the world. My whole life is ran in opposition to it. Your whole life is ran in opposition. Of course, we're cordial and we do the things we have to do to get through life. But the bottom line is, everything we do runs contrary to them. Because it's the world is ran by the spirit of Antichrist. You're not going to have friends. You're not going to make friends with the world. You might have some acquaintances out there, but they're not going to be your friends. By the way, I won't sell you any fairy tale. Young man, young lady, young parent, there's a high cost to discipleship. There's a lot of pastors out there that'll send you, they'll kind of tell you a fairy tale of how this Christian life is going to be once you get saved, and they don't really talk about life as a Christian, how that's going to affect you. Well, because a lot of times they're not standing for anything, so they fall for everything. I won't tell you that this 17 years has been easy and you're about to have your best life now. I won't tell you that everything has been puppy dogs and rainbows. We've lost friends. We've been lied about, falsely accused, scorned, cast out for the high cost of discipleship from following Christ.
Man, come on.
You see, I counted the cost. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Amen. It's been 17 years of building and battling, warring and praying, suffering afflictions for the Christ. And I don't just mean me, I mean all of us. Amen. Acts chapter 20. Paul said this, and now behold, in verse 22, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul said that bonds and afflictions would abide him. Paul said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's a promise. And you're gonna. It's the way it is. If you're gonna stand for something. I cannot stand here and tell you that men will not hate you. But I can tell you for sure you'll be hated of all men for his name's sake. I can tell you that. I can tell you men are going to. But maybe you can't stand to be hated. Maybe you just want everybody to like you. I had a pastor friend tell me that. I just want people to like me. I don't really. I don't know why. Really thought about it that much. He said, I want people to like me. And I was like, well, if we're doing it right, I want people to hate me, right? Amen. I mean, nobody likes to be hated, but they should like to obey the Lord. They should like to be faithful to God. They should have a desire to be faithful to the Lord, right? And to follow him. They should. Let me ask you, is Christ worth it to you? See, I've counted the cost, and he is to me. I can't tell you some fable. I can tell you that I do believe our best days are ahead of us, though. I do believe that. And through these wars that God is raising up some young men to fight, the good fight of faith, and young ladies to war against this common trend of feminism and this rise up of this unisex culture and be the lady that God wants you to be, that lady that is a rebel in that sense, a rebel for God. She's a rebel against feminism, a rebel against the world's version of what a lady is. And young men that stand up and that are men that rebel against the common trend of society. Right? Some of you just want to go along with the world. You got it in your heart, you're okay with it. You just want to go along with it. You don't want to rock the boat. You kind of agree more with them than you do us. I'll tell you, let me be clear with you. If your heart is not right with God, or if you're saying, I don't believe you, you shouldn't be here. If you don't believe what we do in that sense of what we believe, you shouldn't even be here. Why would you be? Why would you want to be if you don't want to stand for the faith once delivered unto the saints? If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't believe in standing and walking and warring and fighting and doing all that God has, why would you want to even be here? What would be the purpose?
Man.
There's none. See, we all see a cause, don't we? Is there not a cause? We have a cause. You don't have one. You shouldn't be here then if you ain't got one. Amen. Now, most pastors wouldn't tell you that because they're trying to keep everybody in they can. Now, as a shepherd, I'd like to shepherd sheep. But if there's a goat that gets in, goats got to go. They don't want God to transform them and make them sheep, right? Amen.
Come on.
I've never spent my ministry preaching to goats, only out on the street, praying that God would make them sheep, right? Right? Because God's able to transform anyone. He turned a beast into a man and gave him a human heart, right? That's what he said. He turned Nebuchadnezzar's heart into a beast, right? And then he turned him back into a man, didn't he? Well, God can do that to anybody. He's in that business. He's in the transforming power. You know what we need to see more in the future, though, is godly ladies that are willing to be submissive, kind, sweet, modest, and serving the Lord in purity and walking in the fear of the Lord. A rebel versus the world's whores. Amen. Young men who will walk in purity and stand for Christ in a sin-sick world and live in godliness. Men that have denied their flesh, taken up their cross, and followed Christ. For 17 years, this church, we've counted the cost. You know, I said this before, one of the greatest trials to date of my ministry, before I was about to be betrayed by one, in the worst way possible, I said, he's worth it, though. Is that right, Aaron? Christ is worthy. Whatever it is we face, he's worth it. By the way, you young people may try to test us on that. You may try to test us on that. Let me say this to you, young man, young woman. You may try to test me on that, but you'll find out that by God's grace, I'll pass that test. Amen. We've counted the cost and found him to be worthy of all adoration and praise. And when to God you would see that he is worthy yourself. You who sit and question God, his authority, his book, his preachers, his church, instead of questioning God, you should surrender to God. See, we've counted the cost. You should count the cost, and you should taste and see that the Lord is good. To hate your own life. You know what? You love your own self too much. That's what the problem is. When you can't do that or you won't do that, it's because you love yourself too much. You're in love with yourself. That's what it is. You love yourself. Proud, arrogant, boastful, and love yourself. You don't lift up Jesus Christ. You lift up yourself. That's why you couldn't imagine suffering for Christ's sake. By the way, persecution is a good revealer. And it is coming. Persecution of the saints is a purification of the saints. Amen. To hate your own life, it means you don't worship your own intellect, your own wisdom, your own understanding. You don't put so much stock in your own self. Trusting in yourself, trusting in the arm of flesh, whosoever it is. And I will tell you that you will not be his disciple because you will not hate your own life also. You want your own way to do your own thing. You have your own plans and schemes in this world. You know, I had my own ideas of what Old Paths Baptist Church would be like, what it would look like, and what God would do and how he would use me. I never saw many things that would come my way, of course, but we have to surrender to the Lord and give ourselves to God and let him use us the way that he chooses. We must die to self, take up our cross, and follow him. God is faithful to keep us, but we must be careful to surrender to the Lord and to be used of God to see mighty things happen. May God give us another 34 years, right? For me, at least. For you, I hope he gives you a lot longer. My heart's desire is to pastor this church and grow old. Amen. With my wife and see my children and grandchildren, maybe even some great-grandchildren. Who knows? And to pastor this church for 50 years and have you throw me in a coffin and I'll see you in glory. Amen. Our duty is to build and to battle and continue on until the Lord takes us home. But you young people, will you be here? Will you be sent from here? Will you have counted the cost? Or will you turn your back on all that we've invested in you? For the pleasures of sin, for a season, for what this world has to offer you? Turn to Psalm 94, 16, please. I have a question for you. Psalm 94, 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? I want you to think about that, young people. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? You think about that, young people. Who will? Will it be you? Will you take all that we've invested in your generation, all that we will continue to invest in your generation, and will you be the ones that take over someday, and will you rise up for God against the evildoers? Will you stand up for the Lord against the workers of iniquity? May it be said that the men and women of Old Paths Baptist Church will do just that, that they will continue to rise up for Christ against the evildoers and who will stand up for the Lord against the workers of iniquity. We need to see that in the generation to come. Men that have standards, men that have that are sold out, men that are on the foundation of Christ, men that will not budge and move, and faithful ladies, faithful, God-fearing, holy women. Because there's a reason why there's a strength that men at this church can go out and preach the Word of God in the open air the way they do. Because there are women that are back home doing what God... They always ask us in a mocking way, where's your women? Oh, they're home fighting the good fight of faith. That's what they're doing.
That's right, right, man.
They're home fighting the good fight of faith. The same thing we're doing here. They're doing it there. Because that's the station that God gave them. And by the way, if they didn't do it there, we couldn't do it out here.
Amen. Right.
By the way, some of you look down on God-fearing women. Maybe some of you young men, your eyes are looking towards the world and you're looking towards those women of the world. Better think about that. You better think very strongly about that, right? You're looking at the things that the world has to offer you. You think some of you in your mind, you know, I've seen young men do this. Some of them, they think there's something wrong with their mother, or there's something wrong with their sisters because they're godly. No, I say there's something right about them. I think there's something right about them. I think there's something wrong with you for thinking there's something wrong with them. I think you're just jealous because they want to walk with God and you don't. So you got that spirit of Cain maybe, and you want to poke your finger at them. I'll tell you something. By God's grace, when God called me to preach the first year, called me to pastor this church the first year of this ministry, He gave me something. He gave me scripture on that the first couple years. I don't remember when it was exactly. I think it was the first year, but I can't remember exactly. I have to look. But it was like, Brother Paul, that book is alive, right? It's living. And he looked, and it was like God said to me, which He did, because I'm reading it, right? So He said it to me. And He said, I've made your forehead harder than their foreheads. Amen. He said, I send you out. I made whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. And I'll tell you, whether you will hear or whether you will forbear, God definitely made my forehead harder than yours. You test it, son, and you'll find out. You'll find out. You'll find out. Believe me. God made it harder. You know, Jesus says at the end of that text, our text, forsake all that he hath. He cannot be my... By the way, I hope you understand one thing about your pastor. When opposition comes my way, it only makes me fight harder. I want you to understand that. It doesn't weaken me, bring me down, or cause me to quit. It fires me up. Because I know I'm right over the target. Just remember that. You know, Christ makes the final point in his teaching that if a man is not willing to forsake all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Christ put the final seal on his statement by preparing his disciples. He prepares them to be his disciple by warning them that they must be willing to forsake all to follow him. Nothing must be more important to you and I than Christ. And what he says to them, he says to all. His warning is to you and I. His warning is to us. It's to each and every one of us that we remember what the high cost of being a disciple. For 17 years of this church, we've seen God raise up disciples, raise up followers of Christ. We've seen them grow and learn and families walking with the Lord. I have seen growth and I have seen God do miracles in the lives of people. I've seen him take marriages that were on the brink of destruction and bring them to strong, God-fearing marriage. I've seen young people saved and their lives change. Men come along, grow in grace and knowledge. Families grow stronger. Man. I've seen God people save people all over the world from the preaching from Old Paths Baptist Church. The stands that we've taken, how it has affected other people. Other people all over the world that have been impacted by that. Our evangelism, people seeing it all over the world, and other churches, other pastors contacting me and saying, hey, Pastor Cooley, we're going out this week. We've watched you guys preach, and we're going out to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
I've seen people mail us or email us things to say, you know, pictures of all the movies and all the things they burned and gotten rid of and all their rock music and all the... Man, I've had people tell me, man, I had like 400 or 500 albums. I just threw them all away, man. I burned them all. I got rid of all of them. Amen.
Husbands contacted me and said, you know what? I brought my wife home. She's not working anymore. She's home taking care of the kids.
Amen.
We learned that from you. Nice. By the way, and then some of them saying, you know what? We heard about birth control. We heard about how it was a sin and how God hates it. And now we have babies.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Now we have children. Yep. Amen. Because of the stands that this church has taken to share the gospel and to share the truths of the scriptures. People standing for strengthening their faith in this King James Bible. Right. Teaching them the truth about the King James Bible, the inspired, infallible, and perfect word of God. Right. Amen. Their lives being changed because of it. Women understanding what their responsibilities are. Men understanding what their responsibilities are. Never heard it before. Never had anybody tell them before. Churches that got right with God and pulled themselves from church incorporation in 501c3. That said, we don't want to be a creature of the state. We don't want to follow the government. We believe what the Bible says. We want to follow the Bible. We want to be a local New Testament church.
We've helped them organize outside of 501c3. They're not creatures of the state. They're not tied to the state. The liberty they have. So the government tells them, oh, you can't give that money to so-and-so. You got to do this or you got to do that. Amen. But God says, no, you don't. You do it my way. Amen. So many people have been impacted. But you know what? We have a lot more work to do. We have a lot of work to do. God has blessed our work and blessed our labors, but we have much more to do. But I'm so concerned. My number one concern for you, or my number one concern is for you and not for those that are out there. It's for you, because God taught me a long time ago the importance of the local New Testament church and preaching to the ones that I have right here. And if our hearts are not right with God, if our foundation is not sure, then it will all crumble. We don't want to be like the church of Sardis. We don't want to just have a name, but forsaking and not doing what God has called us to do. Make sure your heart is right with God. Make sure you're abstaining from all appearance of evil. Make sure that you are walking with the Lord in truth. Make sure you are staying separated. Make sure you are staying sanctified and walking in the fear of the Lord. Make sure that you aren't bringing back in the wicked movies and the wicked music and the wicked lifestyle. Make sure you're not flirting around with the devil and Satan and wickedness and getting yourself all tied up with evil. Make sure that you and I are living that principle of abstaining from all appearance of evil, that have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Make sure you don't put a costume on and come to church in modest apparel and then go home and dress like a whore. Make sure you don't live your life that. Amen. Make sure you don't go home and cross-dress. That's strong speech, preacher. I know it is. I mean every bit of it, too. I ain't backing off of that, because I'm going to tell you something right now, friend. If we back off of what's right with modest apparel, with ladies and dressing and all of those things about the roles of the husband and wife, you might as well put a fork in it. This church will be just like every other nickel and dime loser church out there in Northfield right now. It'll be just like all of them, because we're afraid of what women might think, because they're going to get upset, or beta males that are going to get upset because we're going to say something about it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to tell you the truth about it. And if some Christian woman can't give up her britches, she's got an idol and she loves it. And that's why. And she wants to wear the pants of the family and rule things. That's the way it is. What do you think about that? Right? Amen. She don't want to be a modest lady and dress like a lady. Providing you know about the issue. If you've never learned about it, go listen to my series on modesty and I'll teach you all about it, okay? I'm a lot nicer in that one than I am right now. So anyway, but that was like a 5-part series. I went real slow with it. I was really nice. I was actually sitting down at my desk and having a fireside chat, so it's great. But go listen to that, then you won't be as angry with me. Well, maybe you will be anyway afterwards, because then you'll have all the information. You won't be able, and you won't. Your conscience will not let you just forget about it. But go watch it. It'll change your life, right? I pose the question, should Christian women wear pants? Ooh. It was a great discussion. Anyway, but what's that?
Did you start a firestorm?
Yeah. Amen. But Pastor Johnson said when I was starting Old Paths Baptist Church, he said, well, son, you just got to go out and start a fire and everybody will come out and watch. That's what we did. Amen. Right? Right? Right in Northfield. We went right out there in Northfield, evangelism, right? We first started, we just went out there, started a fire. What happened? Everybody started watching. They came out of everywhere. I like what Lee says. He's like, oh, it looks kind of dead here. Wait, we haven't even started preaching yet. Just wait. We walk outside. As soon as we start preaching, they all come out of everywhere. It's never dead when the preaching comes out, is it, brother? All the devils come out when you preach in the open air, right? They just have to come out. Anyway, we have work to do. We have much more work to do, but thank God for what he has already done. But God expects us to be faithful in everything and in every aspect of our lives. We have to examine that. By the way, if you haven't counted the cost, you better. You need to think about that. You young people, you think about it. We didn't get where we're at by flippant thinking. God brought us to that place of sold out sanctification and a clear direction from the Lord. I'm thankful for all of you. And I pray that God would continue to bless and work in our hearts and our lives, that we would be faithful, that we would walk with Him in sincerity and truth, each and every one of us. And where we need to repent, we would fall on our knees and confess our sins to God Almighty and get them right and move forward in truth and righteousness, walking in the fear of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior. All this in heaven too, right? Amen. All right, Brother Dave, pray loud for us. Stand up and pray for us, will you?
Thank you for this church, and thank you for our pastor. Thank you for the love that he has, a love to just preach it straight, not hold anything back. We thank you for what you brought us through. God, help us to keep pushing forward and not be like the rest. God, help us to keep our first love, that we love you, and that the candlestick not be removed. Lord, help us to continue pressing forward no matter how hard the challenge and how much comes our way, but we remember you're the one holding it all together, and you'll reach out and say, peace, be still. You'll calm the storm. We just have to be faithful to you. God, help us. And Lord, help us to walk away from this sermon today, that it would change us. Lord, help these young people to see the truth of your word, see what it's done in so many lives, and that they not wander away. God, we don't want not one of these young people to leave. We beg you to keep them, Lord. Grip their hearts, break them if you need to, Lord. Please, God. We ask that you bless this day. We bring honor and glory in everything that we do and say. To your name, Jesus Christ. And that's all these things.
Amen.